former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome into the Lombardi Line, presented as always by BetMGM. Stormy Bonantoni with you today, as always, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel in for Mr. Michael Lombardi today. Lombardi will be back this weekend. We'll also have Will Hill, VSiN contributor, join us a little bit later in about 30 minutes here. Get some MLB plays from him. Our guy Mike Somich in his usual Thursday spot as well in hour two. He's got some baseball and World Cup plays today. But it's been a minute, my friend. Good to see you.
Yeah, I've been kind of busy, right? What do we have? We had Summer League. I filled in for Gil for about 2 weeks. So, yeah, it's been kind of busy. But, hey, man, this is the time of year where everything starts to really pick up. What, a week away from the Hall of Fame game? Trade deadline's coming up in Major League Baseball. College football's a month away. So, very exciting.
Yes, and as of today, officially all 32 NFL teams underway in training camp. So, the offseason is officially over. We are off and running and getting things going. And I was particularly excited that you were my co-host today with the news that had come down in Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani's not getting dealt at the trade deadline. Do your happy dance.
Well, look, there's no need to do a happy dance on something that I've been telling everybody in the network that I possibly can. He was never going anywhere. It didn't make any sense. And this is a team that, at the very least, before the news came out, Stormy, I think everybody would agree. The Angels wanted to re-sign Shohei Ohtani, right? I think everybody would agree with that. You do not trade a guy that you want to re-sign. Thus, he was never going anywhere. I will say, I'll pull this card. It was a media-driven narrative on Sunday Night Baseball. They're asking Phil Nevin in the dugout about trading Shohei Ohtani in the middle of a game against the Houston Astros. He wasn't going anywhere. And the thing I will dance about as well, I brought this up with Kelly multiple times when I was filming in on a numbers game the last couple of weeks. Why don't you be buyers? Screw selling. You have a team that is beleaguered by injury, but is still very good. A top 10 lineup and weighted runs created plus. Your issue has been your pitching. Once you start to get healthy, your offense is going to be even better. Why not buy and show him? Look, man, we're in. We want you. We want to have a winning product here. We want to be a very good team that you trust that will take steps forward in your time here. And sure enough, they do that by going and getting Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez. So I think this is awesome for the Angels. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah, I think that's the thing too, right? Like, actions speak louder than words. It's not just that we're going to keep you, but no, we're going to go out there right away. First thing, Lucas Giolito, somebody who's been like a hot name available here at the trade deadline. They get him. I also saw John Morosi adding that they might be considering a trade with the Nationals as well. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes.
But putting their money where their mouth is in this spot. And the Angels have been playing well as of late, won 7 of their last 9, still 7 games back in the division, 4 games out of a wild card spot. So a lot of work left to be done to make the playoffs, let alone make a run, but showing that they're putting that investment in there. And I know we were talking before we got on air, the upcoming schedule looks a little bit challenging on paper, but maybe catching the Braves at a good time coming up this week.
Absolutely. And look, like, this is, they're doing what they were supposed to do with this portion of the schedule, right? They let one get away 2 Sunday nights ago against the Houston Astros. That was tough. But then you bounce back, you sweep the New York Yankees, you come out, you win a series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, you have a doubleheader here against the Tigers. You almost blew one the other day, but you still got it. If you could take this doubleheader and you can win now, if that happens, you're a 9 out of your last 10 games, you're floating around 3.5 to maybe 3 games back from the wild card, depending on what happens later today, like, this is an opportunity for you. Like you said, look, the Toronto Blue Jays, they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. So it's not like they're playing incredible baseball. You said about it, the Braves, right? You go to Atlanta, they're not playing their best baseball. I think they've lost 3 out of, excuse me, they're what, 3-7 in the last 10, something like that. So it's a really good opportunity for this team. And there's something to be said of maybe getting a little spark of, oh, hey, like, our front office is buying in. Like, we're getting guys. We have Lucas Giolito now. We have Lopez. Hey, America, Candelario is the other name, the third baseman for the Washington Nationals that they were sniffing around and maybe going to happen. And I think that also speaks to the fact that Anthony Rendon, like, think they're kind of done. Like, hey, man, like, it's clearly something's going on here. You're not going to be ready. Let's go fill the hole at third base. So overall, I like the approach, and I'll liken it to another one of my teams that I am a fan of, the Los Angeles Clippers, right? A lot of people, when they were talking about, we keep talking about the Paul George trade, and everybody's like, that was a terrible trade. No, it wasn't. You want to know why? Because it got them Kawhi Leonard. That's what that was. It wasn't trading for Paul George. It was trading for Paul George and guaranteeing that Kawhi Leonard would come with him. This is kind of the same thing. It's not guaranteed, but what you're doing here is saying, if we invest in Lucas Giolito, if we invest in Lopez and others to come in here, sacrifice the very thin depth we have in our farm system, maybe it increases the probability of us getting to the playoffs, thus increasing the probability of re-signing Shohei Ohtani. And I think that's what this is all about at the end of it. It's going out and re-signing the guy who is the best player in baseball, and I think their odds are going up in that.
Yeah, and hopefully that does work out. I know obviously you as a fan want that to happen, but we've talked about it a few times on this program, a place where he feels comfortable, a ballpark he likes, warm weather, a big Japanese community out there. So a lot of things play to the Angels' favor for that to work out, but that's also why the Dodgers are another front runner to land him.
Yes, and well, and that's I'd be very clear. I do think the Dodgers are still the favorite, right? Everything you're talking about, you're literally, the pitch is like, dude, don't go anywhere. Don't move. Don't do anything. Just come to a different facility and win more baseball games, right? Like, that's literally what it is. And I think this is the most important part about everything going on with Ohtani, right? Everybody, like the collective in sports, we get wrapped up in like winning and, you know, championships and all that kind of stuff. Shohei Ohtani is going to get his money wherever he decides to go, whether it's San Francisco, whether it's Texas, whether it's Cleveland, whatever. These teams, if he decides, those teams are going to pay him the money that he deserves. So then it's about, okay, what takes precedent? It could be winning, but it could be lifestyle for a guy who moved from freaking Japan, right, to the United States, who had to deal with a really strong language barrier. First, all of those things. You want to live where you're comfortable. And so, like you're saying, like, that's why, you know, people keep throwing the Mets in the conversation because they have the money. Okay, sure, but do they have the lifestyle he wants? Probably not. Okay, then I don't think like a team like the Mets is a real candidate to sign him in free agency. I think that's why these West Coast teams, the Dodgers, or whatever you want to put them, Dodgers, Angels, Mariners, Giants, they're all going to be in the running for him because he gets to stay along the West Coast, a place he's comfortable, just a little bit closer to home. He's going to get the money, and I think eventually he's going to stay in this area of the country. Where it is, I hope it's in an Angels uniform. He's been awesome there. He's the best player. It's fun to watch him, but I think the Dodgers are favored for a reason to land him.
And the AL MVP odds went from around minus 800 to minus 1600. So that doubled with the news that he's going to be staying there in Anaheim. 7-1, the Angels are to make the playoffs this year.
By the way, really quickly, remember last week, or actually it was early this week, late last week, DraftKings hung a market. They opened up Shohei Ohtani to stay after the trade deadline or first pitch, whatever how it was labeled, minus 170. And it was one of the things that Kelly and I were talking like, that should be like 350 or higher. He's not going anywhere. And sure enough, we get the news yesterday that not only is he staying, but they're buying. And so if you got in on it, I'm sure it's off the board. But if you got in on it, good for you, because that was a really cheap price on what every indication was that he was going
to
stay.
All right, let's go to another superstar, but in the NFL, where, I mean, as if Aaron Rodgers and the Jets hadn't already gone full honeymoon. Like, let's just double down on that. Rodgers was set to count $107 million against the cap next year for the Jets. He reworked his deal, 2 years, $75 million guaranteed, which means he's taking a $35 million voluntary pay cut from what had been his current salary. So a discount double check for his new BFFs over there.
Oh, did you work on that? That was a good one.
I did. I wrote it down.
I think this is, it's obviously, you know, pretty selfless. Now, you make a lot of money and you talk about discount double checks. I'm sure that's probably why you're willing to sacrifice this much money, because you got a lot of different stuff in terms of outlets in which you're getting some money back. But I think what's more important here is, like, some of the quotes you see with this and this action, you know, he even had the quote, well, the team gave up significant pieces for it to just be a one-year deal. I'm aware that anything can happen to my body, but I'm having a blast. I don't really seeing this as a one-year and done thing. And I think that's the most important part. You know, the actions and the words are kind of stating here that this isn't just a one-year thing and that he's actually at least going to play there for two seasons. And that's a good thing for the Jets, who obviously sacrificed quite a few assets to go and get him. And for once, maybe Aaron Rodgers actually just speaking outright and just being like, you know, stop dancing around it. Yeah. Just say, hey, I'm going to be here. These actions will say that. I want to set us up for next season if we're going to buy something, whatever it's going to be. So I would say that this is a really big bonus. For the New York Jets that he's actually doing this.
Yeah, and I think that's another just way of showing the commitment that he has, which it seems like he's just found new life and he's glowing right now. I don't know how long this stage of happy-go-lucky is going
one game,
to last.
One loss.
But
it'll
Monday Night Football taking on the Bills, we'll see. But I mean, it re-signals to me also, like, not only that he wants to keep improving the people around him, but, like, just shows how much he wanted out of Green Bay at this point for you to be willing to take this cut. He put those fans, that team, through the ringer. You get rid of Davante Adams because you want to pay him, and then you come out here and you're like, oh, yeah, just, you know, keep bringing guys around me, everything for the team. And I think a big portion of that, I'm sure, has to do with legacy and yada, yada, yada. But okay, so now with some cap space freed up, though, the initial thought that comes into everybody's minds is, okay, well, now can you go out and get Dalvin Cook? And he evidently has a workout coming up this weekend with the Jets.
Yes, I think what he's in New York, because I read a report, was he on like Good Morning Football either today or tomorrow, and then he's going to go and work out with the Jets, whatever order that's going to be. So I would say, yeah, like it makes sense, right? Whatever you got to do money-wise to fix some things up and go and get a guy who could probably have some more left in the tank and just add to an offense that looks like it could be pretty good with Aaron Rodgers. And this is what you want to do with these sort of teams, you know? Like look at what Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers did with Tom Brady. Like this is just what you want. You have a tight window now. You have a guy who's at the peak of his powers, a roster you think is ready to compete. Let's maximize everything possible and go for this because windows are really, really tight and you don't know when they're going to close. And we don't even know how big this one is. But at this point right now, you're doing everything to keep it open.
Win total sitting 9.5. One thing I've been saying, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it, is maybe if the Jets do get off to a little bit of a rocky start, they have a really tough schedule to start. Bills on Monday Night Football at Dallas, New England, Kansas City at Denver, then Philly all before the bye week, that maybe you can catch a live total early on in the season if that number ticks down a bit, knowing how tough that early stretch could be.
Sure. No, I would agree with that. I think that's what you're looking for here. And I look, because you know
then
me.
Then they're going to win week one and I'm going to be like, okay,
well,
there goes
but
that.
They could win week one and then lose the next four.
True.
Right? I mean, because I would very much argue, to your point, the soft spots in that early portion of the schedule, Patriots and Broncos, I think those are two teams that could be greatly improved this season. Mm-hmm. So those are games in which I think are a little bit more difficult than what you would think on paper. And then you just come out of it with a Giants team that everybody likes and Brian Daboll's incredible, and then you're at home against the Chargers, who I think are actually really on the upswing. No, the schedule's brutal for them, and it's because of the division they play. I wouldn't say no to something like that. The problem is just, when do you want to take that leap? Like, when do you want to buy in? Is it going to be week three before you take on the Patriots? Is it going to be week five before you go to the Broncos? That's always the difficult part of that strategy for me, is you just don't know when you want to do it.
Current win total sitting 9.5, juice -130 to the over, coming off a 7-win season a year ago, trying to make the playoffs for the first time in over a decade. Also, a quick note out of training camp, it looks like Garrett Wilson, their young wide receiver, left practice with an apparent ankle injury. I saw the video. It didn't look particularly bad. He jogged off the field with his own volition, so we'll find out if we're able to get any additional information when the press conferences come out a little bit later. Speaking of those press conferences, we got a ton of sound bites coming out of training camps coming up next. Sound off as we react to some of the thoughts coming out of camp.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. You can download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID. Open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We are rolling along here on the Lombardi Line, and NFL training camps are all underway, all 32 teams present and accounting for. And we just got some unfortunate breaking news when it comes to the Miami Dolphins, who newly added cornerback Jalen Ramsey this offseason, carted back into the locker room after a practice injury attending his left knee. And that's your biggest fear when it comes to something like that. It's whenever it's the cart that comes out. And I know we got good news with the Lions this week with CJ Gardner-Johnson and his MRI coming back clean, but that is not the norm in these situations.
No, of course not. So you hope that's going to be something maybe that just in the moment felt pretty poor. And then of course you can bounce back from it, but it's obviously a really big deal, not only because he's a new addition, but you evaluate the cornerback position for the Miami Dolphins. And you know, I know this is the Lombardi Line, so, but I'm going to say it. It's only one spot's metrics. But if you're going by PFF coverage grades, by far the best cornerback on the roster right now, Jalen Ramsey. And that's not really great when the second best guy, at least from a grading standpoint on the roster, was a 68.6 in coverage last season. So you want that to be okay, because the Dolphins seem like a team that if health is going to be good for them, they can be very, very good, and specifically with Tua. And you never just want to see one of the better players in the NFL get hurt. So hopefully that comes back with some positive news. But if that's going to be the case, that will be a pretty big blow.
Yeah, absolutely. We know what a dynamic player that he can be when healthy. I guess he was defending a pass from Tyreek Hill. Not sure all the information yet. If we do find out more while we're on the show, we'll certainly relay that. But that's a team, too, in a very tough division. We were just talking about the Jets and all that they're trying to do there with Aaron Rodgers, now the new quarterback under center, and the Bills at the top of that division, the Patriots. I know that they're considered the longest shot, but they actually have an offensive coordinator this year. Very exciting. So you'd anticipate they take some step forwards as well. So
I mean, I'm high on New England, as high as you can be on a team that's rated as they are. You know, I think that they are a week-to-week team in that, like, ATS-wise, Storm, I think they're going to be very live. I think that the odds of them making the playoffs are higher than what their price would indicate. I think they're going to be one of the better defenses in the NFL. And if Mac Jones reverts back to, you know, his first year, rookie year, Mac Jones, well, then all of a sudden you're looking at a team. Remember, his rookie year went 10-7, got into the postseason, and actually was one of the better cover teams that season as well. So I think there's a lot to be positive about for a New England Patriots team as we're kind of going along that vein and kind of speaking to the division as a whole. Like, I think it's a really difficult division, and you're going to need as much positive health as you can.
For sure. And producer Elliot's going to be mad at me. I'm going to go out of order here, but since we are talking about the Patriots, let's pull up that Mac Jones soundbite here. We are going to do a little segment here called Sound Off, breaking down some of the sound bites that have come out a number of these training camps, players reacting and reflecting to their situations last year, where they're at this season. But let's go to Mac Jones here, because he says that after the way that things went down last year, he's embracing a fresh start with his head coach, Bill Belichick.
No, I think we're good. I think the biggest thing that we've all talked about is just having a fresh start. I think there's a lot of learning experiences from last year that we've talked about. And this year, it's all about just working together, right? You got to come up with a plan and then obviously talk about it and then execute it. So I'm excited for that part of it. Really just for me, just trying to be really consistent, try not to, you know, ride the wave and just stay my course. And hopefully everybody on our offense feels that too.
And he also said earlier this offseason, he's trying to re-earn the respect of his teammates and of the room. And it feels like that's a good step forward mindset to have this year.
I think so, man. And that's why, you know, I always find it so fascinating, like the overall thoughts on certain things. Like, for example, we have two things, right? We have his rookie year in which he was an above average quarterback that led a team to 10 wins in the playoffs. And he had an adequate offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, right? Then you get last year where the offensive staff's a complete mess. The play calling's an absolute mess. He has a worse year. But for some reason, we, the collective, think that, no, the second year is the real year. He stinks. And it's like, well, why? Right? He was in a much better situation his rookie year, and he was much better. So it would follow that maybe if he's in a much more adequate offense this year, that he could be much better. And I always go back. I keep going back to it, Stormy. Top five in DVOA defense, or excuse me, DVOA, excuse me, in EPA per play defensively a season ago, the New England Patriots. And if they're going to replicate a very good defense once again, and you get an offense that's at the very least average, they're going to be much better. And by the way, the other part too is, I mean, the Patriots last year, did they win like four games? Five? No, like no. They were, right? Like yeah, they were actually, exactly. Right. So like, I think that we're kind of sleeping on just how effective this team can be. Am I thinking they're going to win 11, 12 games? No. But do I think they're going to be right in the thick of things for a wild card spot and much better on a week-to-week basis? I think absolutely, and it starts with him and a much more, you know, adequate offense.
Yeah, and that is one of the season win totals that I like this year. 7.5, they had 8 wins last year, to your point, and they weren't as good as what we think that they could be this season. Now, we know that there was some sideline drama and antics when it came to Mac Jones last year. Similarly, Stephon Diggs, and that's been a big topic of conversation this offseason. He spoke to media for the first time since that mandatory mini camp. I'm very concerned stuff that came out with Sean McDermott.
That the media made up, right?
That, yeah, it's a blew out of proportion, blew up too much. He said the issues are water under the bridge. He's on the same page with his head coach and quarterback, Josh Allen, but Diggs did still address his frustrations. Take a listen.
Regarding last year, obviously the way we lost was just terrible in any regard. You know, you don't want to lose any game, but we've lost for a couple of years at this point. And we've been trying to get over the hump, and obviously it caused for a lot of frustration. But all in all, like, as far as with that, I was here, but he did have a conversation. Me and him did have a conversation. It's all water under the bridge now. But I attribute it to, like, I mean, family matters. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like dancing around things. I don't like those kind of questions. The black and white is everybody has family matters. We had a conversation. Everything is all as well. Water under the bridge. Now we back at work.
He also said forcing his way out of anywhere was not his goal. He was asked if he wanted to retire a Bill still, which was a comment that he had made previously. He answered back 100%. So are you a believer that all is well in Bill's country now?
I mean, not really. But I also think some of it has to do with this team, I think, is kind of on the precipice of being one of the more overvalued teams in the NFL coming into this year. I think there's some real flaws with it overall, and I think there's some things emerging with how teams have played Josh Allen down the stretch from a season ago that maybe are going to start to pop up again as we get into this year. But look, like, I do wonder what the problem is. I think you and I talked about this, like, on the day that this happened, which is, you know, if you go over it, he's by far their best receiver. He's going to be their number one target. You know, you go through some of his game logs from week 12 onward through about week 16, Stephon Diggs didn't play very well. He only surpassed 70 yards twice over that stretch and was very much underneath a lot of receiving props. Right, we're talking about 48 yards, 77, 92, but then 37, 60, and 26. Wasn't really getting targeted as much in certain games. The Bears game, for example, only got targeted twice. So maybe it's something like that. But I think the Bills overall just have to be a little bit more concerned with how teams are going to face them down the stretch, because you saw it a little bit more last year. Teams were more content, like, all right, let's just keep Allen in the pocket. Don't let him roll right. Don't send a lot of blitzers, because he's been awesome at it in terms of attacking the blitz. And let's just drop everybody in coverage and see what's going to happen. And I think that affects guys like Stephon Diggs. So maybe they're working those things out.
Yeah, plus 120 favorite in that tough division. Among the favorites to win a Super Bowl, speaking of getting over the hump, Bills have not made the Super Bowl since 1993. So they're hoping to get back to that position. Obviously, they have a star quarterback in Josh Allen. Another star quarterback got a contract extension this week. Justin Herbert cashing in. So now all eyes turn the focus on to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. He was asked at training camp yesterday why he elected to show up at camp from day one instead of hold out until his new deal was locked up.
You know, personally, I feel in my position, I don't want to waste any of these days that I have to get better. I've wasted enough days the last 2 years with, you know, injuries and appendicitis and COVID the year before that. You know, I don't want to get out of camp wishing that I had, you know, seven more days that I could have got better. And so that's the reason I'm here. You know, maybe business comes first at some point, but I need these days to be my best.
He also added, when it comes to his contract, he's focused on getting a deal done that's good for him, good for us, and good for the team. I mean, if you're a Bengals fan or backer, you have to love what you just heard.
Oh, I think so. And actually, it's a pretty interesting point. So when I saw this, I went over and looked. You know, so if last year and the year before, you know, when he talks about those slow starts, the first two games of each season, so four games total, seven touchdowns and seven interceptions, PFF passing grades of underneath 70. Like, you kind of saw it like, hey, he did get off the slow starts, and maybe that has something to do with it. So now, if you're coming out, and especially remember, if your brothers don't remember, that opener against Pittsburgh where he threw four interceptions in that opening game, and all of them were on him, I think that's actually, it's not something I thought of until I saw the quote in the rundown and went back and looked. Like, he has gotten off the slow starts, and this team has gotten off the slow starts. Last year he did too, like record-wise, before they started really to pick it up. So maybe this means that this team's going to be firing on all cylinders right out of the gate, and they're going to be a candidate to go over the win total. Don't know if that's really the case, but it's at least a very valid point that he has gotten off the slow starts as of the Bengals each of the last 2 years.
I was very glad that they lost that game, because I was somebody who Steelers alt season win total over, and your girl needed it, something fierce. So
okay,
it came in the clutch.
I don't know if you're going to get it this year.
I think that they'll still be 500.
Oh, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season?
Rumor has it. I've heard that a time or two. How many? 16 is a year? 17? Yeah, something like that.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL betting guide is out now, and our college football guide drops next week. You'll get previews and predictions for every D1 team and conference, best bets on futures and season win totals, plus an in-depth breakdown of how you can use our betting splits and power rankings to make you a more informed bettor this season. Sign up before the end of July. You'll get both guides and full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl. That's at our early bird discount of $175, or you can do the monthly subscription where you get your first 30 days, just $19. See everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Remember, this offer does end July 31st, just a couple days away. Don't miss it. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you here on a Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line, live from Circa Resort and Casino. Excited to welcome into the show our great friend Will Hill, VSiN contributor and betting analyst at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. And I know, based on your first wager that I see here, you are very excited, as our guy JVT is, that Shohei Ohtani will remain with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
I told you, buddy.
Yes, you were right, but I do think that, hey, they were never going to trade him. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that we could ever prove that, because they've played pretty well here the last 10 days. And if they were, I mean, it really started with the Yankee series. I'm trying to think of what they are their last 10 games. But if they were 2-8 over their last 10, I'm not 100% positive. I don't know how anyone could be 100% positive they wouldn't trade him. It's a lot easier now that they're within shouting distance to say, hey, they were never going to trade him. I don't know. They're close enough now where, like, I was on with Gil yesterday. He's like, you think they'll trade him? I was like, there's no chance they're going to trade him now. But 10 days ago, it was a different conversation when they're, what, 6.5, 7 games out, trending in the wrong direction. Like, if they were 8 games out right now, 9 games out, I don't know that they wouldn't trade him. I don't know that they would. I don't know what the owner thinks. But, look, it'd be fun to have him in the mix. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Still an underdog to make it. But at least the fact that they're in the mix, they're making trades, I guess it's good for the game. It would have been I'm torn because I have MVP tickets on him. I did hedge a little with the field, so I didn't really care where he went. But I guess it's good that he's staying put.
So what are you doing today? He does get the start in the first of the doubleheader against the Tigers. Any worry about the finger? Because the market seems to think that maybe that's going to be the case. Last two starts have been shaky. This is down to about $1.28 in some spots.
Yeah, I'm going to take the bait here and fade the market. I'm just going to say, look, he hasn't pitched well, like you said, not just the past few starts, but really for a month or so now. But, you know, maybe get a little a shot of life here knowing Ohtani's going to stay. They add Giolito. I just think this is a cheap price. If there's any spot for him to get on track, this is a Tigers lineup I think he can handle. So I'm okay here laying it with the Angels. I'm going to take the bait here. I'm going to go Angels money line.
Anything else that you have on the day slate today?
No. What else is on the day slate? I know Mets and Nationals later. It's a lousy slate to only have 5 games, and one of them's a makeup. So we were going to only have 4 games. I don't understand what they do with the schedule sometimes, but I don't see anything else on the day slate that I really like. I would lean under 9 in Mets Nationals later. That's a decent pitching matchup with Gray and Senga. Both those guys have good stuff. They can struggle with walks, but as long as they can keep the walks at a minimum, both those guys, I think, have the stuff to keep that one under. And my other play, I don't know if you want to get to it now. It is a night game, but White Sox, Guardians. I went first 5 under 4.5. To me, Bibee is fantastic. He is under the radar. Cleveland's really good at developing these pitchers. They just traded for Noah Syndergaard. I don't know if they can develop or fix him, but Bibee's been tremendous. He throws any pitch at any count. Really good breaking ball. His numbers are fantastic. And Cleveland in general is just a good under team because they have good pitching. They can't hit. And Cease goes for the White Sox, who has been pretty good here. So I'll go under 4.5, first 5, White Sox, Guardians. So those are the plays here on a very, very limited slate in Major League Baseball.
So I know you don't have anything else, but any general thoughts on the turnaround that Kodai Senga has had? Because his last 5, he's been pretty freaking awesome. And it has to do a lot with changing up his pitches and you're right and actually relying on different ones. He's a $2 favorite today. What have you made of the turnaround for Senga and the fact that the market's got them over $2 today?
It's just hard to trust the Mets, especially at that price. If there's ever a chance for the Mets to get on track and get back within shouting distance, it's now because you get 4 at home against the Nationals, then you get 3 against the Royals. That's 7 games where, hey, if you're ever going to get a 7-game winning streak, or we'll call it 6-1, something like that, with the way these other NL wildcard teams are struggling, Philly hasn't played great. Arizona's really struggling. Giants have gotten on track against the A's, but they hit a skid. The Marlins haven't played well. If you could ever put together a 6-1, 7-0 stretch here, you go back from 6 or 7 in the loss to like maybe 2 or 3 in the loss column from some of these wildcard teams. Everyone's bunched up 47, 48 losses. Maybe he can make a run. So if there's ever a run coming for the Mets, it's now. I just don't trust him enough to lay $2 here, and I'm not going to lay a run and a half, especially at home where you're not sure if you're going to get the 9th at bat. I lean under in that game. Gray's been pretty good, made the All-Star team. And like you said, Senga's been a lot better recently.
Well, how about your Yankees then? Big picture, had a rough start to the second half, 1-5 to get things going, but turned things around here over the last little bit, 4-1 their last 5. Big picture, sitting 54-48 on the season. Anything that you can look at to buy in on New York?
I think they made a major strategic error this weekend when they had Kansas City Royals in Yankee Stadium. They beat them 3 straight times, and they did not kidnap them. I think that was a huge mistake. They should have kidnapped them. They should have done what the scene from A Bronx Tale where they just lock the doors and keep them there and just play them the rest of the season. But I will say, as somebody who's been pessimistic on them all year, betting under season wins, just fading them pretty regularly, 86.5 is the one point where I say, you know what, I might go over the season win total here because Judge could be back tomorrow. It's unclear, but it sounds like he's close. Boone said it's possible he returns on Friday versus the Orioles, and they're going to get they're going to add a bat. They're just not going to be in sell mode. They're close enough, sort of like the Angels, where, hey, we're the Yankees, we don't sell. I could see them adding Bellinger. So if you add Judge and add Bellinger, Rodon's back now, finally pitched a good game last night. You have Cole and Rodon at the top of the rotation. This is finally a team that's actually pretty good. They still have plenty of holes in that lineup, but with Judge and with, you know, let's just say Bellinger, maybe you get one more bat on top of it. I think now is a good buy low spot here for the Yankees, who it's just hard for me to find nice things to say about them because they are so unwatchable. But this might be a good
spot. So you're saying they're not going to get a wild card spot?
I've been betting them to miss the playoffs, but those are all at plus numbers. I think they're plus to make the playoffs now. I don't think they'll get in, but I don't hate a plus number at to make the playoffs now. I don't know if it's plus 180, plus 190. If it's in that range, like I don't. If you're just asking me, hey, do they make it? Probably not. But at a nice plus number, I wouldn't hate the bet just because I think they're going to get reinforcements, and now you got Rodon back, going to get Judge back, so. Probably not going to make it, but I wouldn't hate it at a plus price.
How about the disrespect here? Padres, 6.5 games out of a wild card, yes, plus 370 to make the playoffs. The Mets, let's see, 7.5 games out of a wild card right now, plus 650 to make the playoffs. The Angels, only 4 games out, 7-1 to make the playoffs after they get Giolito. What are we doing here, huh?
Are you going to bet it?
I don't like to put my money where my emotions are, Will, but I think I might have to.
You were squirming in your seat.
Well, because I don't want to emotionally wager on anything, but I will say it is, I think, like the market, it's a lesson like this. The market refuses to give up on the Mets and the Padres, and they are still just playing 500 baseball. Like at some point, the Padres, I keep getting told they're going to make a run, but they're still just floating around at 6.5 games. I do think when you're talking about the probability of the Angels making it into the playoffs, and to say that both the Padres and the Mets have a better shot to make it in than the Angels do, who are only 4 games out, I do think it's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, if you bet the Padres, you make a run. You make a run to the bathroom to throw up watching them because they just lose games to the Pirates. They just flush your money down the toilet.
Stop
they are
reminding
so
me.
Painful.
Well, and really quick, so I mean, bad. Honestly, if you're betting that, and I know we have to do your Canadian play, if you're betting the Padres to make the playoffs, you're betting them to win the World Series, are you not? Because you're going to have to get insanely hot to get in. Like, that's something you're probably splitting up and doing. If you think they can legitimately make it in, that means this offense is going to take off, and you think that they can also make a run in the postseason, are you not?
Yeah, and again, I wouldn't advocate that. I mean, they're another team. I mean, now that the attention's off the Angels, I think the attention shifts to the Padres because they got some attractive guys there with Soto. I could have worded that better. Soto, Hader, Snell. They can turn some of these prospects around. Again, though, there's a human element of this GM's been there a while. He's spent a lot of money. He's traded a lot of prospects where he's got to knock on the owner's door and say, hey, let's take a step back and trade some of these prospects. I don't know if that's really feasible here. I think they're pot committed. So I'm not sure what San Diego does here. I will say with some of these yes, no to make the playoffs, like if you wanted to take a shot at the Angels at 4-1, you're not married to it. You could say, hey, I'm going to take them 4-1. They get hot, and maybe you can bet the other way, like minus 200, minus 150 if they make a run. So it does give you some maneuverability here where if you're just taking a number, you can always bet the other way if things go your way for a week or so.
Real quickly, Will, less than a minute, but while everybody's talking the NFL offseason being over, you're betting Canadian Football League, baby. What's the play of the week?
Let's go with my boy Dustin Crum from Ottawa here. Hamilton's getting bet because they're getting their quarterback Bo Levi Mitchell back. But to me, this is just an overreaction. This was plus 3.5 like an hour ago. It's down to 1.5, 2. I think that's an overreaction. Crum, if you remember him from Kent State, it was a really good quarterback in college. He's played well since being put in the lineup. So I'm going to lay the money line there at 135 or so.
Will, always keeping us on our toes. You'll love to see it. Awesome stuff, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right. See you. Thanks for having me.
Make sure, again, you follow him on Twitter or X, as the kids are calling it these
Z
days.
Z is actually how it's pronounced.
Not the Will Hill. Is it really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yep.
So then are the tweets called Z's? Because everybody's saying they're X's. They're Z's?
Yeah.
Everything about this, whether it's X or Z, sounds so inappropriate. I sound like you're about to say hot damn after that.
Mm-hmm. Just don't search X videos. Oy. That's for sure.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Calling all BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $100 bonus when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account. Click on the Refer a Friend program. That'll send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM. And once your friend signs up, they make a deposit. They'll get their $100 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with that bonus and the wager's settled, you get your $100 bonus as well. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Nevada. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line on a Thursday. We're live in downtown Las Vegas. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And I am pretty excited, actually, to have this little discussion. As many of you may know, the Madden ratings came out recently, and there were five players who got the ever elusive 99 Madden rating for Madden NFL 24. And because our guy, Michael Lombardi, whom I love so much, not a big fan of Madden ratings, while the co-host is away, Stormy will play Madden 99 ratings. We're going to get into some of these players and their prop options available. You ready?
I am. I would just like to state, though, up front, if anybody from Madden is listening, very disappointed. The game has very much gone downhill since about... Elliot, can you look up for me? What year was the Troy Polamalu, Larry Fitzgerald cover? Madden 10. That was the last,
so it's
like...
been a hot minute.
Yeah, it was the last, like, really good year. Because that year, if I remember correctly, in online play... You could play with like two friends, so, you know, in groups of three, but you controlled position groups.
Yeah.
So like one friend would be defensive line, one would be linebackers, one would be corners, vice versa on offense. So let's go. Come on. If you, let me just say this, EA Sports.
It's in
Where's my single shot? If you screw up NCAA football next year, you will be hearing from me. I promise you that. You have something special. Don't ruin it. I'm just going to say.
Don't mess it up. That's all you got to do. Don't mess it up.
That's right.
But I was never a big video game person growing up. Like, I played GoldenEye on N64,
classic.
And I played, like, the old Mario games on the super old Nintendo NES. Mm-hmm. And then the only game I ever played as things got more elevated was Madden through high school. And then I've fallen off in my adult life. But that was the only game I could play. I was bad at anything else.
Yeah, you just got to practice.
Like with anything.
Just anything, yeah. You just got to practice. Pick it back up when it comes to NCAA football next year.
I don't know if I'm ready. It's been so long. There's so many buttons on controllers now. I'm not mentally prepared for this.
We'll start a VSIN Dynasty League in college football. We'll all take control of our respective college football programs.
Gosh, I'll get wrecked.
We'll recruit against one another. We'll schedule each other. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic.
What league will Colorado play in?
The Big 12. Yes, Big 12, of course, because that's going to be right. That starts next year, right?
Yep.
So, yes.
We'll get into a little college football, by the way, in hour two. We'll discuss everything that's going on with conference realignment, some favorite win totals we have, as well as the Heisman Trophy market, because there are some interesting names that are available. But let's start, like I said, with some of these Madden 99 club player props, starting with the reigning MVP in the National Football League, Patrick Mahomes. His passing yards prop set at 4,675.5, -110 each way for that one, and his touchdown set at 36.5. 3-1 number for the most passing yards this season, around the same, +275 for the most regular season passing touchdowns. Coming off a season, he had 41 touchdowns, just 12 picks, 5,250 total passing yards.
I'm going to say, if we're betting, so I'm just picking something, anything out of these?
Just if there's anything that calls to you.
Anything that calls to me, I would say I'd probably go with under passing yards. How about that?
Really?
Because
of the wide receiver room?
I think it's the wide receiver room. I think it's the fact that when you're looking at some of these numbers for guys like Patrick Mahomes, they're going to be very, very strong, right? And they're going to be pretty... they're going to be pretty high. And I get it. Last year, what, 5,250, you said, last year in the regular season?
Correct.
So it went well over it. But I think you're going to try to kind of change things up here when you're talking about your offense and probably not trying to be as aggressive when it comes to the passing attack. We'll see if that's actually going to be the case. And obviously, teams are consistently trying to scheme against them. And I do think there is something to be said of playing in the division, which I think, like, the Chargers defensively should be a little bit better. I think the Broncos are going to be very good as well. Now, he might get it all against the Raiders because that secondary is going to be awful. But I think that the division is improved enough defensively that I think that I'd be willing to look under as opposed to over. Especially such a high number.
Yeah, I don't hate that mindset. My thing with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs is I'm having PTSD from last year when I just kept telling myself, they don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. That offense is clearly going to take a step back. And then he goes out and just sets career marks for himself, wins an MVP, and it didn't matter who was in the wide receiver room. And granted, like, you do lose Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman and you're trying to figure out which one of these young guys might elevate their game to rise up in that room. But you still have Travis Kelce at the end of the day. The MVS can be one of those guys in the room, too.
I'd also argue, too, that if you think that the Chiefs are going to be very good, which I do, there is a probability that's higher than most that he's not going to play the last game of the regular season, right? Like, that could be a certain possibility. Whether it's going to, in whatever seed it's going to be, not even just locked into the one seed, you know, division winner, can't move up or down, whatever it's going to be, there's a pretty good, there's a better chance than most that he's probably going to sit out the last game of the regular season.
So would this thought process then translate to Travis Kelce, who is another 99 at the tight end position? His receiving yards number, 1,149 and a half, had over 1,300 last year, but he's been in the 1,000 plus yard club since 2016 every single year consistently. His receiving touchdowns number set at 9.5.
I mean, I feel like you're going the opposite here, right? If he's going to be the only, like,
yeah,
if he's
he
going to be
the safety net,
right?
If dominant threat,
the guy, then I think, because if you're looking with the wide receiver room at this point right now, like you said, I mean, you know, there's Valdez Scantling, Sky Moore showed some flashes, but then, you know, the rest of this thing, Kadarius Toney, we know what's going on there.
Yeah, like, I like the touchdowns over, I think, if I were to pick one.
Right. I mean, and he's certainly capable of it. Again, going back to the, you know, again, I don't mean to keep taking shots. He had, what, 4 touchdowns against the Raiders on that, was that a Monday night game?
17, he had like 17 yards and 4 touchdowns. Right. It was something so stupid.
But he's capable of doing it. I think if I'm doing anything, I mean, think about that. In that one game, he's 40% of the way toward going over this receiving touchdown prop. So I would say, if anything, he's going to be the number one target. Barring any injury, I think you'd feel pretty good about going over.
Yeah, he had double-digit touchdown catches 3 of the last 5 years, and in 2021 he had 9. So he's in that wheelhouse more often than not. I also actually kind of like 11-1 to lead the league in receptions. A little bit of a longer shot, but he caught 110 of 152 targets last season. We just talked about us anticipating him getting a bit more volume potentially because of what's not in the wide receiver room. Plus, he's 34 years old. This could be like the last year that he's really pedal to the metal, all-out go-to guy. So,
well, I would agree, and I would say this. I would rather bet that most receptions than most receiving yards, because I know people look at like 22-1. Difference is he doesn't have the yard after catch ability that some of these other guys are going to have. They're going to be able to maximize the most yards that they're going to be out there. So, like, I think he's going to be very good, but I think last year was Justin Jefferson who led the league in receiving yards at 1,809.
Perfect transition. Right. Also in the 99 club at the wide receiver position, Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings, receiving yards total, 1,249 and a half, minus 140 though to the over on that one, touchdown number 8.5. 12-1, most receiving touchdowns, plus 550 for yards.
I mean, I think I'd go over on yards. I think it's properly shaded to the over. My guy, Kirk Cousins, gets a lot of flack. And I know it's because he looked like a weirdo on quarterback. But I think overall, like,
I loved him, by the way, on quarterback.
There's a lot of things I have issues with on quarterback from Kirk Cousins.
We'll discuss it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you got time for fires afterwards, but you don't have time to dress yourself. A little bit of a weird dynamic there.
I like his outfits. The dad vibe works.
The vibe works. It's just that it doesn't make sense to say, I don't have time to dress myself, I leave that to my wife, but then sit with Coop at the fire every Tuesday and, like, chill with the
family bonding time.
Right, but if you don't have time for, like, if you don't have time to dress yourself, you don't have time for family.
Would you not rather hang out with your family than spend 10 minutes going through your closet? I'd rather spend that time with my child. I don't even have a child. You're a father. Come on, JVT. Anyways, pick a bet. Jeez Louise.
I said, go over. Okay. I'd go over the receiver. Okay. Because my point was, Cousins is, I think, an underrated passer. You know, I've said that many times. You look at it again, of course, on a run of 3 straight years. Of course, he's gone over 4,000 yards, and it's pretty much what he's averaged since he's become a starter in 2015. Jefferson is a guy who maximizes that, and sneaky good Justin Jefferson at a contested catch rate. He's awesome in those contested catches. All of that would lead to maximizing receiving yards, thus going over 1,249, and he crushed it last year.
Any thoughts on Aaron Donald real quickly? Sacks prop set at 10.75.
My only question is, like, what are the Rams, right? Like, if you're somebody who thinks the Rams are going to be terrible, is Aaron Donald going to play out the entire year? Is going to be a point where he takes off maybe at the end of the season? Not takes off, like, leaves the team, but, like, you know, they shut him down. Will he? I know there's thoughts that he could get traded. So would that mean that you get traded to a contender before the season begins, or at what point, whatever it is? I would tend to maybe look under, especially with a guy who attracts.
I feel like if he gets traded, that'd be a trade deadline thing.
Yeah, right, if that does happen. But I think for a guy who attracts as much attention at a position that's not a glamorous pass rush position, I would go under.
Did lead the league in sacks in 2018 at a career best 20.5. Since then, 2019, 12.5, 2020, 13.5, 2021, 12.5, but just 11 games played last year, 5 sacks. So clearly a step back on a team that struggled. Nick Bosa, only a 98 Madden rating. I know that Michael was upset about his PFF rating. Now this, it's a travesty. How could they do this to my guy? Reigning defensive player of the year. Come on, man.